We're holding the last words of Memvolvem Bay's last two words. Okay, we talked about in the Mishnah about the case where a man is Mekadesh a woman with dates, and we said we had a couple of possibilities. One where he tells her skadshli b'tmoruz or skadshli b'zu, each date individually, he says, be Mekodesh to me with this one. We said it has to be that at least one of them has to be a shava pruta, otherwise you don't have a vada kedushin. You can't combine them together because by saying his skadji for each one amounts to that each one is a separate thing. We said Reb Shimon would say that. Other chachamim might even say, even if he used a different expression.
You really like it because he was trying to tease her?
No, just he's telling each one. He's
As
telling her
well.
skadji bizu. He gives her the first one. He says skadji bizu. Then he gives her another one. He says skadji bizu. Whatever the reason is, the point is that we need each one, and we need not each one, we need at least
One.
one of them
So.
individually to be a shavuot brother. Then we said, on the other hand, there can be a case where we combine them together, where he says eschatually bazoo, bazoo, bazoo. And then we also said that the Mishnah had said if she's eating them one by one, then it works only, then the Kedushin work only if
Last one.
One of them has a shavuot prata. And we said, which would, what do we mean? What do we mean? One of them, according to Rav Ami, particularly, we meant the last one has to be a shavuot prata because the other ones would be considered a milva, which we're going to get into that point of a Mekadesh for milva soon. But anyway, so now, so we discussed the point.
One
So,
question.
yeah.
Can you Mekadesh, one man can Mekadesh two women with the same shava pruta?
No, you need a shavuot prata individually for each one, but we are going to talk about that kind of thing where a man is Mekadesh multiple women. We're going to talk about that kind of thing later on in the perek. So wait, and we'll get to that in a few days, Beis Hashem, during Chol HaMoed. Anyway, the point is that again, we were drawing the distinction where of when we say that one of them individually has to be a shava pruta versus when are we saying we can combine them all together and as long as in aggregate they're a shava pruta, then we're good. So now further on that topic, Omar Rava, Lo shanu ela do amala bazu bazu bazu. This that we're saying that they don't combine together, and that according to Rav Ami, even the last one needs to specifically needs to be a shava pruta if she's eating the previous ones, is ela de amala bazu bazu bazu. Only if to begin with, he told her, I'm Mekadesh you with this one and with this one and with this one. Aval amala be'elu, but if he says altogether, if he says I'm Mekadesh you with these, afilo echelas nami mekudeshes. Then even if she's eating them as he's giving them to her, then she's still Mekudesh. Because ki ka'ochla v'ninafsha ka'ochla. Because then we can say what she's eating is already what belongs to her. In other words, when he says be'elu, so when he says
Mostly.
be'elu, it means that all of them together. So therefore, so he's giving her one at a time, but the kiddushin, in other words, as soon as he said be'elu, then it means the statement of kiddushin is over. Now he's giving them out to her. So fine, she eats them one at a time. Doesn't matter. She's eating ones that are all part of the kiddushin, as opposed to when he says bazoo, bazoo, bazoo. We can be talking about, according to Rav Ami, at any rate, that the earlier ones amount to a milveh because, in other words, we're saying he says bazoo and he gives her one, then he says bazoo gives her another one, and then bazoo and gives her another one. So he hasn't even completed the statement of kiddushin yet until he gives them all to her. And meanwhile, then when he's giving her the earlier ones, then it amounts to a milveh that he's lending them to her basically because they haven't yet constituted a kiddushin, and if they end up not finishing the kiddushin, she may even have to repay them. And Hamakadosh Memilva and Mekudeshes, as we talked about yesterday, and as we're going to learn in more detail further down on the Omer. In fact, the Atzmas Yosef says, and he says this is how Rashi learns, and that Amma learns this way, and it's brought in the Torah that, for that matter, if he were to tell her bazoo, 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 and then start giving it to her, then also it would be fine if she eats them one at a time, because again, he made the entire statement of kiddushin before he started giving her anything. So the distinction is not really between saying be'elu versus bazoo, 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 but rather whether you completed the entire statement before he started giving them to her. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kavasei de Rava. We have a Braisa that learns the way that Rava says, because the Braisa says, suppose the man says to the woman, Hiskadshali ba'aloin, be Mekudesh to me with an acorn. Normally, Rashi describes acorns are usually eaten by animals, but sometimes Rashi says people roast them like hazelnuts and eat them. So again, as long as it's a shava prutha, then it's good. But Rima, you know, he says, be makodesh to me with a pomegranate over egos or with a nut, a walnut. Osh, we're going to see in the Gemara in a minute, does he mean all three of them or does he mean one at a time? Anyway, Osha omale skadshili be'elu, or he tells her, be makodesh to me with these. Im yesh b'kolon shava prutah, if all of them together add up to a shava prutah mekudeshes, then she's mekudesh. Ve'im lav ena mekudeshes, and if not, then she's not mekudeshes. Or to be exact, she's mekudesh only besafik, because maybe these things are worth a prutah someplace else. Similarly, continues the Braisa, if he says bezu bezu bezu, if he says this one, and this one, im yesh b'kolon shava prutah mekudeshes, if all of them together are worth a shava prutah, then she's mekudeshes. Ve'im lav ena mekudeshes. And if not, then she's not Makodesh. Now, Rashi points out, why does the Braisa distinguish, given that the beginning of it is also talking about where he says Be'elu is Im Yesh Ben Shavu Prutah Makodeshes, and with Bezu, Bezu, Bezu is the same din, why is the Braisa splitting it up? Why didn't the Braisa just say that if he says Iskadshili Be'elu, or if he says Bezu, Bezu, Bezu? The reason is, Rashi says, because the Braisa is going to go on to distinguish between the case where she's putting them down in front of her until she has a pile versus where she's eating them one at a time. And there we're going to draw a distinction between Be'elu versus Bezu, 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 which we're going to end up saying that supports what Rava is saying. Anyway, continues the Braisa. Bezu. If he tells her, be mekudesh to me with this one, and the talatu vachalatu, and she takes it and eats it, bezu, then he gives her another one and says, with this one, and the talatu vachalatu, and she takes it and eats it, bezu, v'oid bezu, v'oid bezu, v'oid bezu, eina mekudeshes, ad shehe ba'achas, men shavu prota, then she's not mekudesh unless one of them has a shavu prota. According to Rav and Shmuel, we said before, maybe any one of them could be a prota. According to Rav Ami, we would say that Davka, the last one, has to be a prota because the rest of them are a milva. Anyway, before we get to how this Braisa supports Rava, we first have to work out the details of what the Braisa is saying, the distinction that the Braisa is making. And that also, by doing that, we're also going to show how on the face of it, there seems to be no way to understand the Braisa except the way that Rava, except in light of the din that Rava is saying. So first of all, so the question is, Hi ba'alan b'rimon b'egos heichi domi. What do we mean when he says, be mekudesh to me with an acorn, with a pomegranate, with a nut? Ilema d'omala oi ba'alan oi b'rimon oi b'egos. Does he mean that he says either with this or with this or with this? So in other words, he gives her, let's say he puts down all three on the table and he says, he offers her in his hand all three of them and he says, pick whichever one of them you want and you'll be mekudesh with that. Well, what do you mean? Yesh b'kula n'shava prota mekudeshes. What do you mean if all of them together are worth a shava prota, then she's mekudesh? He clearly says it's one or the other. If she picks the acorn, then she can't pick the pomegranate or the nut anymore. And the same thing with any of the other ones. So that wouldn't amount to that if all three of them are worth a shava prota, then mekudeshes. The Ella Ba'alan Beriman Uva Egos. So obviously it must mean that he's saying all three of them together. Well, the question is, Hainu Bezu, Bezu, Bezu. Isn't that exactly the same thing as saying Bezu, Bezu, Bezu? So why is the Braisa distinguishing between them? Ella Lav De Omala Be'elu. So it must be that the first case of the Braisa is talking about where he says Be'elu, be Mekodesh to me with these. And we see the Braisa is saying that all three of them, as long as they're worth a Prota, then it's good. So therefore, and all of them together can be worth a shava prota, and that works. So therefore, so that shows that there is a distinction between bezu, bezu, bezu versus be'elu. But the Gemara asks, "Vamit katani sefer osha omalei skadshli be'elu." But the Braisa continues with the actual case of be'elu, and then mentions that the cloud the reisha lab be'elu askinan. Doesn't that show that the reisha is not talking about be'elu? So maybe it does mean that he says it's one or the other. So then indeed we're going to need to figure out, so how is it that all three of them together can be worth a shava prota and it works if on the face of it he said it's one or the other? And the one answer is fine. You could say pirushi kamafarish. You could say the sefer of the braisa is explaining the reisha. He starts by saying, "Iskadshli ba'alan b'rimon ba'egos ketzad." What would that mean? Not that he says one or the other, because then it has to be one of them individually. It has to be a shavu prota, but rather you could say kagunda amalei iskadshli ba'egos. He tells her be mekudesh to me with all three of these together, and then that would work because they're all together worth a prota. So now that we figured out what the Braisa is saying, so now Vikatoni Sefer. So now the Sefer of the Braisa continues, Bizu, that if he says, be Mekodesh to me with this one, Talatu Vachalatu, and she took it and ate it, and the next one and so forth. We said Im Yeshba Achasman Shava Prota Mekodeshes Vim Lab Any Mekodeshes, only if any individual one of them, or pointed up Ami Dafka, the last one, has a Shava Prota, then she's Mekodesh, and if not, then not. Now that's in the Sefer. The ilubereisha like kamaflig ben echelas lamanachas in the reisha when the brisa says so now we see then so the reisha of the brisa then we're going to assume is talking about be'elu because again we said there doesn't seem to be any other way to understand the brisa so and then in the reisha we're not drawing any distinction between whether she's eating them or not only in the sefer. When we say that he says bazoo, 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 then there's a difference where he says bazoo and she eats it, and bazoo and she eats it, and so forth. So therefore, but in the reisha, it's not drawing any distinction between eating them and putting them on the table. So it comes out then that even if she is eating them, then in the reisha, even if she is eating them, it's fine. Why? Because he said be'elu. Shmamina, so that would show so then when he says be'elu, then when she's eating it's her own that she's eating, it already belongs to her and it already belongs to her and therefore there's no problem with her eating it because it already belongs to her. There's no milva involved. So that bears out Rava's point. So Shmamina, good. So that proves it. So yes, that proves Rava's point that given that there's no, and again the Ritva I think explains that there's the reason why the Gemara went through this whole point about establishing what case exactly is the Reisha talking about is because that made it clear there's no other way to understand the Braisa other than to say that it's drawing a distinction between Be'elu versus Bazu, 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 and making a distinction between whether she's eating it or not. And therefore, that bears out Rava's point. So good, that shows, like Rava said, that if he says Be'elu, then she can be eating them. There's no problem. Only if he says Bazu, 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 then there's an issue. And again, you have Rishonim who explain that even if he says Bazu, 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 if only after saying all the Bazus, then he starts giving them to her, then also it would be fine. Not all Rishonim agree with that. The Torah brings other opinions. But in any case, the point is that you do have that, but definitely if he gives them to her one at a time and each one says Bazu, so he doesn't say scatchy individually by each one, but he just says bazoo when she takes it and eats it. Bazoo, she takes it and eats it, and so forth. Then we're going to have an issue of a milva, and only if the last one, like Rav Ami said, only if the last one is a shavu prota. Okay. Well, now the question is, now that we understand the braisa that way, we have to go back to earlier on. We learned yesterday on Daf Mem Vav, right after the Mishnah, that Rav and Shmuel had understood the case of the Mishnah to where the Mishnah had said that if she's eating them, then she's not Mekudesh unless one of them is a Shavu Prota. And we said, now Rav Ami, we said, had learned that refers to the Sefer, and he says it means specifically the last one has to be a Shavu Prota. But we said Rav and Shmuel understood that part of the Mishnah about her eating them, and it has to be one of them as a Shavu Prota, is referring to the Reisha. So they explained that it meant that needless to say, if she's putting them down in front of her, then there needs to be a shava pruta in one of them individually. But even if she's eating them, you would think she's having the hanah right away. Maybe she's willing to be mekudesh with less, and therefore with less than a pruta even. Therefore, the Mishnah had to tell us not so. Well, now that we have our braisa over here, and we've just explained it, it fits very nicely with what Rav Ami is saying and how Rava and detail that Rava said in it. So hanichal amanda omer asefa koi. So then it works out very nicely according to the opinion appointed of Ami, who said that the part of our Mishnah that talks about her eating is referring to the sefer. Umay adchi heb achas man shavu pruta means adchi heb achrona shavu pruta. that it means in the Mishnah that Davka, the last one, has to be a Shava Pruta, because if it's any of the earlier ones at the Shava Pruta, that's no good because it's a Milva. So then in that case, then the same thing, Hochinami, the same thing in the Braisa, we would understand that in the case where she's eating, in the case where he says, Bazu and gives them to her, etc., it would have to be that in the Braisa, Adjehe Bachroina Shava Prota, that it means the last one specifically has to be a Shava Prota in order to avoid the problem of Milva. Fine. But
one question.
Yeah.
The fact that she's eating doesn't necessarily mean that she accepts to be married, just because she may be hungry or she just likes dates.
That's exactly the point appointed of Ami, is he's saying that if the Kiddushin, for whatever reason, doesn't go through, if she changes her mind before he finishes saying his statement, then it's true. She's going to owe him for those dates. That's a milva. That's what he said. I'm a Kaddish Milva, Anima Kodeshis, which we're going to talk about that point soon in more detail.
That's but exactly why is he the only one saying that? Why the other?
Because Rav and Shmuel, so that's the thing. We learned yesterday, it's not necessarily that Rav and Shmuel are disagreeing with that din. They may be learning that it's a doichik to say in the Mishnah, that we discussed this yesterday, that Tosfos says, they may just say, look, it's a doichik to say that when the Mishnah says, im yesh ba'achas man shavaprota, that it means dafka, the last one, it seems more smooth to mean that the Mishnah, to say that the Mishnah means if any one of them is a shavaprota. And that would require us to be referring back to the Reisha of the Mishnah, the case where he says, iskadshli bizu, and as long as any one of them is worth a shavaprota, since there was a separate statement of Kedushin for each one, then we don't care. Even if the earlier ones are a milva, that's fine. We ignore the other ones because he's not trying to be Makadish with those anyway. So the question is not really so it's not so we discussed yesterday, is there in fact a machlokas in halacha between Rav Ami and Rav and Shmuel, or is there not? We are going to learn further down on the Amud, we're going to start talking about this matter of a Makadish B'milva. We're going to see that at least on the surface, there are going to be opinions that say that a Makadish B'milva, well, we're going to mention a Braisa that says a Makadish B'milva Makudeshis. Like I said yesterday, you actually find in the Gemara and Sanhedrin that there was a Machlokas on that point long earlier between Shaul and David. So again, what happened was Shaul had a daughter, Merav. So what happened was, here, let's give the background of that, as the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin. When Golias was going and terrorizing the Jewish people and saying, nobody can fight me, etc., and then finally David comes, and finally David comes onto the scene, so he starts asking around, has the king offered any reward for anybody who'll defeat this guy? And they tell him, yes. The king has promised that anybody who defeats this guy, Yashrenu HaMelech Osher Gadol, the king will give him great wealth, And he'll have him marry his daughter. So now David goes and kills Goliath. So now Shaul owes him great wealth, far more than a Shava Pruta. So David figures, the Gemara explains over there, that he can be Makadish, that if Shaul wants him to marry one of his daughters, and the eldest one is Merav, good, he can be Makadish her with that money that Shaul owes him. But it doesn't work. I'm Makadish Milva, in Makadishes, and so she ended up marrying another guy. Then you have the Gemara goes on to mention over there that then there was the question about Shaul's second daughter, Michal, who David did end up marrying. Was he trying again to just do with Milva? Was he trying to do maybe with Milva or Pruta? Because Shaul told him to go bring back Meir Orlis Plishtim, and in fact, he brought 200. Are those worth a Pruta? Can we say that when there's a Milva and a Pruta involved, they have in mind to do the Kedushin with the Pruta rather than with the Milva? After all, the Milva is worth a lot more than the Pruta, etc. The Gemara goes on to discuss that point over there. The point is, in other words, that there are opinions that I'm a Kaddish Milva Mekudeshes, but in any case, again, so Rav and Shmuel may be disagreeing with Rav Ami on that point, but it may also be that they're not really disagreeing. They're saying, how do we understand the Mishnah? Because to say that part about her eating them, and to say only the last one should be a Shava Pruta, is a doichak in the wording of the Mishnah.
Shaul told him to
kill 100 plishtim and bring their arlas. Really, the pasuk says at that point Shaul already didn't like David, and he's hoping that he'll get killed in the attempt. And David obviously didn't. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara over here. So the question is, Elul Rabu Shmuel Da'ami Tavayu Areshifari. They say that the part of the Mishnah that says where she's eating them, then it works only if any one of them is a Shava Prota, and that the Chiddush is, even though she's eating them, that we say, even though she's getting the Hanah right away, nevertheless, there still has to be a Pruta. We shouldn't think maybe then it's possible to do Kiddushin with less than a Pruta. Well, then, the question is, in this Braisa, Hocha, Kloli, Kachoshiv, Pruti, like Kachoshiv. Well, the Braisa here then is, seems to be talking about a case only where he's talking about Bechlolos. He's saying that he's being Makadosher with several fruits together, not where he's doing any one individually. So why would the Mishnah say, Yesh ba'achas man shava pruta mekudeshes, according to Rav and Shmuel, when the Mishnah says that point, it has to be referring to a case where the Kedushin was done with any one of them individually, but the Braisa is not talking about cases where he's doing any one of them individually. We established that the Braisa is talking about where he's doing Kedushin with all of them together. With the Allah and the Egos and the Rimon all together. So what do you mean if one of them is worth a Shavu Prota Mekudeshes? That wouldn't work out. And again, if you're going to say that what it means is that if you're going to say that it means that she ate them as she's going, then no, that's no good. That's a milva, a Makadosh milva and a Mekudeshes. So according to Rav and Shmuel, how would they understand this Braisa? The answer is they would answer Homani Rebbe. The answer is they would answer that this Braisa goes according to Rebbe. Now Rebbe's opinion comes in connection with the dinim of Pigul and Masechta Zvachim. So we need to talk about that a little bit. We know that a person who's doing the four major avodas of a korban has to have various things in mind when he's doing it. And if not, the korban may be either posel or pigul. One of the things that can make the korban pigul and a person is then chayiv koris for eating it is if he has in mind that he's going to eat the meat of it outside of the zman. He has in mind that he's going to eat a kezias of the meat of it outside the time. So if it's a chatas, for example, that he's going to eat some of it the next day when he's already not allowed to eat it. If it's a shlomim, that he's going to eat it 3 days from now, or that he's going to burn some of it on the mizbeach tomorrow, whatever. Anyway. Now, you can have a case where a person has more than one such machshava. What if he has in mind, for example, that he's going to eat a kezias of it? Now, on the other hand, that kind of thing is called machshavas zman, and it's called chutz l'zmanai. Then you also have a person can have a thought, chutz l'mekoymai, that he's going to eat a kezias of it outside the place that he's allowed to, outside the azara for a chatas, let's say, outside Yerushalayim for a shlomim or a korban pesach or what have you. So that doesn't make it pigul, that makes it posel. It's called Machsheves Mokem. It's also called Chutz L'Mekoymai. Now, what happens if he has in mind both thoughts on different parts of the korban? He has in mind, let's say, he's going to eat a kezias of it tomorrow and a different kezias of it outside the Beis Hamikdash. So now the Chachamim say that then it doesn't become pigul. They say it's pigul only if he has in mind only the thought that would make it pigul, only the Machsheves Zman and nothing else. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says it depends which one came first. If he had first the thought that makes it pigul, if the first one he thought of is I'm going to eat it tomorrow, then the korban becomes pigul. And thinking afterwards and another kezias I'm going to eat outside the Beis Mikdash today doesn't save it from being pigul. Now, Rebbe explains over there that Rabbi Yehuda would draw a distinction between whether he says kezias or whether he says kezias u kezias. Actually, Rebbe says we don't draw that distinction. He says that it wouldn't matter here. Let's see inside of the Gemara. Homani Rebbe he d'omar loishna kezias loishna kezias u kezias. Doesn't matter whether he said I'm going to eat kezias tomorrow, kezias outside, or whether we said kezias tomorrow and a kezias outside, either way, protahavi, either way, it's considered a prat. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, we would say we go according to the first one, or according to the Chachamim, we would say it doesn't matter what's first and what's second. So in our braisa over here, but it's skadshili bezu, so then we would say that, by the same token, whether he says he's skadshili bezu, or he's skadshili bezu uvezu, then we would say, not like we said before, that the braisa means he wants to be mekadosh them with all of them together, rather we would say he means to be mekadosher with one of them individually. So it doesn't mean that he says one or the other necessarily, but he's saying any one of them, so then fine, as long as any one of them is a shavu prota, then we're good. So therefore, so Rav and Shmuel would understand the Braisa that way and to be according to Rebbe. If we said, in other words, it was according to the Chachamim, then we would have to say that the, then the Braiser should be distinguishing whether he says bizu uvizu uvizu with vavs, or whether he says bizu bizu bizu, where we would say one of them amounts to saying that each one is a prat, and the other one amounts to saying all of them together. So, and the fact that the Braisa doesn't make that distinction, so Rav and Shmuel would say then that this Braisa goes specifically according to Rebbe. Okay, so fine. So the Braisa can be worked out according to either opinion. You have Rava had said a din within Rav Ami's statement, and the halacha is like it. And Rav and Shmuel understand the Mishnah differently. We'll also have a different way of understanding the Braisa, that it's only according to the opinion of Rebbe and not necessarily representing the final halacha. Okay, now let's talk about this matter of Hamakadosh B'Milva that we've been touching on so far. We actually talked about it. It was actually talked about in some detail earlier in the Masechta on Daf Vav. But there, the Gemara had mainly drawn a distinction between, there the Gemara had mainly focused on drawing the distinction between Hamakadosh B'Milva versus Bahanos Mechilas Milva. You can have his Makadosh with the actual money of the Milva itself. He says, look, you owe me money from what I previously lent you. So that money that I gave you then should now be considered an act of Kiddushin. Versus you can have Hanos Mechilas Milva, where he tells her, you know what? I'll be Makadosh you with the fact that now you won't have to repay that money that I previously lent you. So that kind of thing will work because that's a hanah that she's receiving. The first kind, we're saying, won't work because there's nothing actually changing hands now. So, and there's if he's trying to be Makadosh with the actual money, then the money is not changing hands now, and the money may not even exist right now because she may have already spent it. So now we're going to discuss that point.
But she has it on her head. That she has the responsibility.
She has it on her head that she has the responsibility. Therefore, well, fine. If he wants to be moichel it, that's the point. If he's saying I'm moichel the debt, that's different. That's hanos mechilas milva. That can work. Oh. But we're talking about he wants to be mekadesh with the actual money itself. Anyway, so let's see. So let's get into the detail of that. Omer Rav, I'm mekadesh b'milva. So he's mekadesh her with the money itself of a milva, forget about hanos mechilas milva. We're talking about his makadosh with money that he previously lent her. Now Rashi makes the point, could even be that the money is actually still be'ein. She still has the money in her possession. She hasn't even spent it yet. Nevertheless, ain't a makudeshes, she's still not makudesh because milva lohitzah nitna, because a milva alone is meant to be spent. Meaning, in other words, so Rashi says what it means is like this. You have to consider, as a matter of dinim mominus, you borrow money from somebody, are you entitled to go and spend it on whatever you want? What if you spend it in a way where you may not have resources to pay it back afterwards? Now, you shouldn't do that, plus it says, loy v'rosha v'lo yishalin, but are you even allowed to do such a thing? Or do you have to davka, for example, take that money and invest it in a business or something so that there's a reasonable chance you'll have what to pay back? Well, Rav, so we're saying, milva lohitzah nitna. No, the loan can be spent on whatever he wants, on whatever the loiva wants. So now the money is considered fully hers, and therefore he's not giving her anything right now. So again, if he tells her I'm mekadosh you with hanos mechilas milva, that will work. But if he tells her I want to be mekadosh you based on the actual money that I gave you before, that won't work because that money is already considered hers and it's considered in effect as though it was already spent. And then therefore, so even if right now it's be'ein, even if right now she still has it in her possession, nevertheless, you can't be mekadosh with it. So in other words, the point that Atzmas Yosef makes the point, in other words, if the money had already been spent, you wouldn't need the point that Milva lights on it. You'd say there's no money over here right now to work for Kedushin anyhow. So the Gemara says, Neima Ketanoi. Would we have to say that what Rav is saying is a Machloikas Tanoim? And we would prefer not to do that. We'd prefer to say that a statement of Amiroyim goes L'chole Alma. It's one thing maybe if the halacha was established like a certain Tana, then we could say that the Amora is going specifically like him. But as long as we haven't established that yet, we would rather say that Rav is saying the statement according to everybody. Well, a Braisa says Makadosh Milva Ein Makudeshes. That if he's Makadosh with a loan, then she's not Makudesh. The Yesh Oimim Makudeshes. But Yesh Oimim, which the Gemara elsewhere explained, refers primarily to Rav Nosson. Rameir is a chayvim. Rav Nosson is Yesh Oimim. Anyway, So Mikudeshus, my lab bahokamifagi. Wouldn't that be the underlying machloikus? Is the marisov milva lights on nitna? So one says the milva is meant to be spent on anything, or marisov milva lab lights on nitna. The other one says she can't just freely spend it on anything she wants. She has to spend it on something where there's a reasonable chance. Now, even, I mean, look, you put it into a business, the business could go bankrupt. So it's not always a given, but at least there's more of a chance that you'll be able to pay back with that. So then, if we say milva lavla hitzah nitna, then it means that he can't just spend it on whatever he wants. So then you could say, in a certain sense, in effect, then what you have is Pnei Yeshua explains. In effect, what you have then, in a certain sense, the money has never left the reshus of the malva. So. Because either he has the money right now, he hasn't spent it yet, or he buys with it merchandise or whatever, and then you have that. In effect, that's in the reshus of the malva. Okay, the Tosfos Reed gives a different explanation. He says not like Rashi that we're talking about whether what the malva is, what the loiva is allowed to spend it on or not. He says that just what it means is, in other words, that milva loitzah nitna means in other words he hasn't given her anything right now because so if we say now the Tana who on the face of it, the Tana who says that you could be Makadish with a milva would say, look, since the money still exists, then fine, you have something that he gave her. Whereas the other opinion would say, even though the money exists right now, the fact is that he hasn't given her anything right now. He gave it to her beforehand, and now it's not considered to be in his rishus anymore. Anyway, so on the face of it, the machloikas of the Tanoim in this Braisa is on this exact point that Rav is saying, whether milva lights on nitna or not. But the Gemara says, the Tisbra, how could you think that that's the point of the machlokas? Ema Sefer. Look at the next part of the Braisa, where it continues, v'shovim b'mecher, they do both agree when it comes to a sale, shazek kona, that a person can buy something using money that he had previously lent him. So Reuven had previously lent Shimon money. Now he's saying that, now he's saying, Instead of you paying me back, you'll sell me your field for an equivalent amount, and that works. Now the Iyamat Milvalites on Nitna, my Koni, if you're gonna say Milvalites on Nitna and the money is not considered to be in his rishus, with what is he being coined of that money, that karka? We learned earlier that we learned in the previous perek that karka you can buy the kesef for shtar of chazaka. Here there's no kesef. So obviously it can't be a matter of whether they're arguing Milvalites on Nitna. It must be there's a different point at hand over here. So Omer of Nachman, Huna Chavrin Mukim Lab Mili Oichrin. So Rav Nachman says, in fact, my friend Huna, this is the regular of Huna and Shas, so it was a Talmud of Rav, he understands this Braisa to be talking about a different thing altogether. Not talking about a milva versus not, but rather talking about where he said a certain amount of money and he didn't quite give her all the money. Because Rav Huna would say, we're talking about Kigoyin Sha'omalei Skadshali B'mona. He says, be Makodesh to me with a mona, which consists of 100 zuz. And he gives her the money. V'nimtza mona chosav dinner. And then in the end, so he gives her the money. Then we count it out, and we find that in the end, he only gave her 99 dinner. So Marisov Ksifal on Milsa Lamitbe. So now the Machlokas Tanoim will be one of the Tanoim holds, she'll be embarrassed to ask him for that last dinner. So we don't have a smichus das. She expected to get a full 100. She only got 99. She's going to figure, look, it's too embarrassing to go to the guy and tell him I want the 100th. But the fact is, I only agreed to be Makodesh for 100, not 99. Therefore, I'm a Kaddish Mamilva and a Makodeshes. So we're not talking about where he lent her all the money. What we're talking about, in effect, is he owes her one dinner, but she's but how is she ever going to get that? She doesn't know. Once she gets that, then we can talk about Mekudeshes. But as long as she hasn't gotten it, then ain't a Mekudeshes. One second. Whereas the second Tana is going to hold. She's not embarrassed about that. She expects that she has a smichus das that he's going to pay it to her. So, in other words, she expects he'll give it to her shortly. He must have overlooked it. And if not, then she'll tell him, new, where's the 100th dinner? So therefore, she has a smichus das already of receiving the whole 100, and therefore we can say Mekudeshes, even before she received the 100th, because she expects to get it fairly soon. Either he'll remember himself, or she'll tell him, as opposed to, according to the first Tana, she's going to be embarrassed to ever tell him, and therefore there wouldn't be a Kedushin. So the machloikas is not about whether he lent her all the money. The machloikas is about a case like this where some of the money, where a small amount of the money is missing.
If they asked her, would you accept the mission with only if the full
he full told her to begin with his scadjali bimana. She doesn't even have to reply anything. Right. She just has to start accepting it. So
what if she got a shabrut? She got right.
No, because the deal was his scadjali bimana. So only when she received the mana. The question is, does she have the smichus das? Does she have the certainty that she's going to get the whole 100? According to the Tanakhama, if he gave her 99, then she may figure, look, it's going to be embarrassing to tell him, you know what, you gave me only 99, you didn't give me 100, I'm going to look cheap then. So therefore, I'm not going to bother. But the fact is, I only agreed to accept the money. So,
but that little piece is like a penny.
Maybe, I mean, we're talking about dinner is more than a penny, but that's neither here nor there. We're not talking about whether it's a shav or prota. The fact is, you can make it tonight to be mekadesh only with a certain amount of money.
And a down payment, you can't say you have money.
If they agreed on a down payment, then fine. But they didn't agree on any such thing. The Meiri points out, if you had a similar thing with a sale, for sure, a buyer is not embarrassed to a seller, rather, is not embarrassed to ask for the last dinner. So then we would say it's like a down payment, and the sale goes through. But here we're talking about kedushin. So Muna understands the Braisa to be talking about that case. So in that case, Rav's din of a Makadosh Bemilva has nothing to do with this Braisa. It uses the same words, a Makadosh Bemilva, but it's talking about two different cases. Rav is talking about a real Milva where he lent her the money previously and now he wants to be Makadosh her with it. The Braisa is talking about it's a Milva in the sense that he gave her all the money minus a little bit. And now he owes her that little bit. Okay. So the Gemara asks, "Be'ela hadu amar Rabbi Lazar." Fine, but if we understand it that way, what about though? Consider the din that Rabbi Lazar says, where the man says he's skadshali b'mana, be mekodesh to me with a mana, v'nosim a dinner, and right now he gives her only one dinner, harezim mekodeshes. Then the kedushin is valid, v'yashlim, and he has to pay the other 99. Now, based on what we said, if you're going to tell me the Braisa is talking about where some of the money is missing and it's machlokes, whether it works, now the question is on Rabbi Lazar, lema katanoi amr l'shmaite. Are we going to have to say that Rabbi Lazar's statement is only according to one Tana? Again, we would rather be able to say that Rabbi Lazar is going according to all Tanoim.
Rather, the one that says that if you're missing one.
You have one on the face of it. We said Rav Huna had said that if you're missing one, then the Tanakhama says that Einim Kodeshes and the Yesh Oimim say Mekodeshes. Based on that, Rabbi Lazar's din, it seems, would work only according to the second opinion, only according to the Yesh Oimim. So the Gemara says, no, the difference is Amri, so they said in the Yeshiva, there's a difference. Monach Chosser Dinner, when he gave her 99 and there's only one missing, Ksipala Milsa Lamitbe, she would be embarrassed to ask him for the last one. It's a small amount, it's one dinner. So she may not ask him, but the fact is she also is not willing to be Makudish yet because she asked for, he promised her an entire money. Mona chosir tishin b'teisha, but when you have a mona minus 99, all he gave her was 1 out of 100. That's a huge amount. Like sifala milsala mitbe, then everybody's going to agree. She's not embarrassed to tell him, you know what, this is only a dinner. Where's the other 99? So then we could say mikudeshes, and he has to pay the rest of it.
The only thing is that we keep learning on Gemara expression that a woman would rather be married than be single.
Yeah, that's true.
For that one little thing, she's, you know.
Nonetheless, when he said he's going to be Makadosh or B'mana, then it means that implicitly, by agreeing to that, she's saying, I won't take less than a mana. So therefore, then, yeah. We learned in the first Perek. We had something along that lines, along those lines, when we discussed the point that we say that you need for according to Beis Hillel, you need for Kedushin, Pruta or Shava Pruta. So, First, the Gemara had said because a woman is not willing to let herself go as to in kedushin for less than a pruta. So then we said, what about those, or actually, in connection with Beis Shammai, we said when Beis Shammai had said dinner of a shava dinner. So we said, why specifically a dinner? So we said, because it's a choshava amount of money. So we talked about over there, what about there's this family over there where the women, there's a very rich family. They're not willing to be mekudesh with less than a basket full of gold dinners. Are you going to say that stam, then that kedushin with them doesn't work with less? So fine, you give a woman from that family a pruta. She doesn't say anything, then fine, that's a valid kedushin. But if to begin with, he tells her, I'm going to mekadesh you with a basket full of gold dinner, and he doesn't give her that basketful, he gives her less, then there's no kedushin. So here, yeah, same idea. Okay. So fine. So Rabbi Lozer's din has nothing to do with the Braisa, because Rabbi Lozer's din is talking about where he only gave her a tiny amount as a down payment, and therefore sure she will eventually ask him for the rest, and therefore she has more of a smichus das that she is going to get the rest. Obviously, if she doesn't get the rest, then ainam kodeshes. But if in the end it turns out he decides to never give her the rest, then but other than that, then basically the kedushin is valid. He just has to pay the rest of it. Okay, the Gemara says maisvi. Fine. I have a contradiction on Rav, though, from a Braisa. So fine, we can say so far the Braisa that we brought has nothing to do with Rav's din. It's talking about a different din altogether. But now we have a contradiction on Rav's din. A Braisa says, Ha'oimel ishe skadshli b'pikodin sheyeshli b'yodich. He says to a woman, be mekodesh to me with a pikodin that I have in your hands. So previously he had given her a pikodin, and now he's saying, I want to be mekadeshi with it. V'holcha, so she goes to check on it. U'metza'ato shenigna v'sha'avad. She finds that the pikodin had been stolen or lost. So it depends. Im nishtayer hemena shava pruta. If there's at least a shava pruta of the pikodin left, mekodeshes, then good, she's mekodeshes. V'im lav ena mekodeshes. Uba milva. On the other hand, the Braisa continues, when he's Makadish over the Milva, even if there's not a Shavu Pruta left, Makudeshis, then she's still Makudesh, because she has the Hana, Rashi says, that he'll be Meichel her that loan. And this is Hana's Mechilas Milva, and we've learned before that works. Then the Braisa continues, Reb Shimon Alaza,
no tangible money.
That because the point is that he's being Makadish over the Hana. You can be Makadish with the Hana, so that works. Reb Shimon Alazar Oymer Meshum Rameir Milva Harei Kipikodin. On the other hand, Reb Shimon Alazar says in the name of Rameir that a Milva is like a Pikodin in that regard, only if there's a Pruta left of it, then she's Makodish, but if not, then not. Now, we just said that the Tanakama is drawing a distinction between a Pikodin and a Milva. The Tanakama is saying that with a Pikodin, you need, if you want some Makadisha with the Pikodin, you need at least a Pruta of it to be left at the time that he says Hareat Makodeshously. But if it's a milva, you don't need anything of it to be left at all. Not like Rav had said, a Makadish milva and a Makudeshis, because there's no money available now. Reb Shimon Alazar is saying that, is saying both a milva and a pikodin, there needs to be a purta left. So,
pikodin
is only a deposit. He gives it to her as a deposit to keep safe for him. He's going out of town, he has something that he needs to be watched. Milva is a loan. So the difference is, there's a number of differences. A pikodin, for example, let's say she's a shomachinam. Let's say he didn't. Let's say he's not paying her for doing it. Then she's potter from gneva and aveda and then onus and so forth. Whereas a milva, you have to repay no matter what. So ad kan le pligi ella demar. So what is the machlokas? We're saying demar sava milva afagav le nishtayu hemena shava pruta. So the Tanakama is saying a milva works even if there's not a shava pruta left. And Reb Shimon Alazar holds only if there's a shava pruta left of the milva, then it works. But they both seem to agree that you could be makadish with a milva and it works. So not like Rav is saying. So Rav is saying, I'm a Kaddish Milva, ain't a Mekudeshes. It comes out that both Tanoim and this Braisa hold Mekudeshes. The only Machloikas is, does the same thing apply to a Pikodin? Or the only question is, does the same thing. Do you have to have a Shavu Pruta left of it or not? Reb Shimon Alazar is saying you have to have a Shavu Pruta left, and the Tanakama is saying that you don't. But other than that, though, I'm a Kaddish Milva, Mekudeshes, it sounds like. So how does that fit with what Rav is saying? So the Gemara says, Omalei Rava. So Rava answers back, the tisbara, the layers in parentheses, because there wasn't a specific amora who was mentioned before that Rava should be responding to. This is the stomach de Gemara. This is the Chachmei Yeshiva in general brought up this point, and Rava is responding. So Rava answers, the tisbara hamataratsta. What do you think that this braisa is correct? That the wording of it is correct? That she could be makodesh hamashabeshti. You have to realize there's a mistake in this braisa. Where you know, many times the Gemara will introduce a braisa with tonu rabbanon or something like that. That means it comes from a reliable collection of braisas. We're not going to say such a thing as meshubash, but here we just had stam a braisa that's brought where some tana was teaching, some tana, some expert on braisas was teaching it in the Beis Medrash. But the Gemara mentions in other places not always these. When we talk about Tanoim in this regard, we don't mean Tanoim like Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Meir and then so forth of those generations. We mean the ones in the times of Amoraim who would memorize Braises and tell them over in the Beis Medrash. But the Gemara elsewhere mentions those Tanoim were not always such great Tamar Chachamim. They memorized enormous amounts of material, but they didn't always understand it fully. So therefore, you could have sometimes they could get the wording wrong and not realize it. So Rava is pointing out this Braisa is an example of that. There's obviously a mistake in this Braisa. Because consider the case of the Pikadin. Hi Pikadin, hey Fidami. Because what's the scenario here with the Pikadin? Leaving aside for the moment the Milva, let's talk about the Pikadin part, and then let's see. Are we talking about that if she took Achrayus on it, that if it gets stolen, for example, she's going to pay him back, Hainu Milva. Well, then that's exactly the same thing as a Milva. And if the Tanakama holds that a Makadish Milva, then it's Mekudeshes, even if there's not a Shava Pruta. Why all of a sudden by the Pikadin? Would there have to be a Shava Pruta left? Why would there be such a distinction? The same thing would the same thing would apply to both of them. And mind you, Rabbi Akiva Eger points out that the on the face of it, there is a big difference between them. By a Milva, you can talk about Hanos and Chilas Milva. By Pikadin, the intention is to be Mekudesh with the Pikadin itself. But so he leaves Tzorach Iyun and why the Gemara doesn't make that distinction. But anyway, the point is, on the face of it, if she accepts Achrayus on it, then it seems to be exactly the same as a Milva in the sense. The same thing, a Milva you have to pay back, a Pikadin you have to give back. Are you talking about she didn't take Achrayus on it? She said, fine, I'll watch it for you, but if anything happens to it, it's not my responsibility. Well, then when the Sefer goes on to talk about where we say that when it comes to a Milva, the Tanakama holds, even if there's not a Shava Pruta, she's Mekudeshes, why even bring in the matter of a Milva at all? Niflig v'nisni b'dida. The Braisa could be making a distinction within the case of Pikadin itself. And say, when are we talking about that there has to be a Pruta left? Shaloi kibla ala achrayus, only if she didn't take achrayus on the Pikadin. Avo kibla ala achrayus, but if she did take achrayus afgav l'nishtayim and a shavu prota mekudeshes, then it would work even if there's not a shavu prota, because then it's similar to a milva. So why even mention the case of a milva when the braisa could show a distinction within a Pikadin itself, whether she took achrayus or not? The fact that the Braisa doesn't make such a distinction seems to show that there is no such distinction. A Pikadin is a Pikadin, regardless. And then the question is, well, why? If there's Achrayus on the Pikadin, that's exactly the same as a Milva. Ella, rather, Rava says, obviously you can see there's a mistake in this Braisa, Tritz Hochi. Therefore, you're going to have to explain. You're going to have to change the wording of the Braisa and fix it up as follows. Over Milva, Afbish Nishtaya Mena Shava Pruta, Eina Mekudeshes. The Tanakama is going to say by a Milva, even if there's a Shava Pruta left, she's not Mekudeshes because, again, no, she hasn't received anything now. So even if there's a Shava Pruta on it, doesn't matter. The fact is he gave her the money before and Milva Lahitzah Nitna. So therefore, that would be exactly what Rav is saying. Then we would say, Rav Shimon Elazar, and Rav Shimon Meir, Milva Harei, now Rav Shimon Elazar would be holding that as long as there's a Pikadin, that just like by a Pikadin, if there's a Shava Pruta, then we're good. The same thing by Halva, so fine, he would hold Hamakadosh Milva Mekudeshes. So fine, ultimately we might have to say that Rav's statement, so somebody's showing him understand that at this point, the Gemara is saying, look, we have no choice but to say that Rav's statement is only according to one Tana. We were trying to make it work according to everybody, but on the other hand, maybe we don't have a choice. On the other hand, Rashi says that no, we don't even have to say that. When we can talk about the machloikas between the Gemara is going to go on to say what's the underlying machloikas. So Rashi explains we don't want to have to say the machloikas is whether Hamakadosh Milva Mekudeshes. That brings us back to square one. Then Rav is only according to one Tana, and we want Rav to be according to all Tanoim. Rather, we can say, even though Rav Shimon Elazar is saying that if there's a Pruta of the Milva left, she's Mekudeshes, there could be a different reason behind it. And now the Gemara is going to explore what that reason is. And that way, that would allow us to say that Rav's opinion would work even according to Rav Shimon Elazar. Even though I'm a Kaddish Milva and a Mekudeshes, nevertheless, you could have a case where it works as according to Rav Shimon Elazar as long as there's a Pruta left of it. So what is that? So B'mayka Miflagi, what is that underlying Machlokas? So Omer Rabba Ashkachtinu L'Rabbonin B'Bei Rab. So Rabba says, I found the Talmidim in Bei Rab. Bei Rab literally means the house of Rab, but Rashi explains doesn't literally mean the house of Rab. It means the yeshiva. It could be called that because Rab founded it, or it could mean the house of the Rebbe. In other words, the yeshiva where the Rebbe teaches the Talmidim. Whatever the case, Rabbi says, I found the Talmidim sitting in the Beis Medrash, and they were explaining, B'milva b'rshus b'aylam l'chazorah, but who are in the onsin kamithli. The machloikas between them can be, suppose that you have a milva, and they haven't yet, fine, we're going to say milva l'hitzan nitna, like Rav said, that the milva can be spent on anything he wants. If he actually started spending it, even if he only spent the Shavu'ot Prut on it, then the owner can't change his mind and say, you know what, I don't want to lend you the money after all, give it back to me. In other words, during the term of the loan. Obviously, eventually the guy has to pay it back, but normally the Gemara elsewhere mentions, for example, that Stam Halvar, Shloshim Yom, so the Machlokes would be, Reuven gives Shimon the money. So if Shimon starts spending it, then Reuven has no ability to say, you know what, I changed my mind, I want to undo the loan, give it back to me. Shimon can say, you know what, I've got 30 days to pay it back to you, or whatever time they made up. But if the machloikus would be, what if Shimon hasn't started spending it yet, can Reuven say that I want it all back? And also, the argument would also be whether Shimon is chayev in any onus that happened to the money during that time. Him having not spent any of it yet, does that make it yet in his reshus, or is it not in his reshus until he actually starts spending it? And up until then, maybe he's considered like a shoy mechinam on it. So the Tanakama is going to hold the milva is completely in the reshus of the loiva, even if he hasn't spent any of it yet. And the same thing would apply as far as onus. Therefore, you can't be Mekadosh with that. It's completely out of the Malva's Rishus. So therefore, you can't be Mekadosh with it. Umar Sober, where's Rav Shimon? Allah would hold Milva, Rishus, Bailam, Kaima, Ruadin, Lainsin. He would hold, as long as none of it has been spent, it's still considered in the Rishus of the Balabas. He could change his mind and say, I want it back. I don't want to lend it to you after all. And the loiva is still potter from oinsin until he starts using it. Well, therefore, it's still considered to be in the possession of the malva at that point. Well, therefore, he can be mekadesh with it. So that would be an explanation that would allow us to say that if the money actually started being spent, then they would all agree that you can't be mekadesh with a milva. But when the money hadn't been spent yet, that would be the machlokes. So nothing to do with Hamakadosh Milva, Mekudeshes, so any Mekudeshes, but the question is, what is the status of that Milva at this point? Is it considered a Milva, or if it hasn't been spent, if none of it has been spent yet, is it considered a Milva, or is it maybe considered only like a Bekodin or something like that? And Tosfos says, again, we could even say that when Rav said Einam Kodeshes, he's talking about where he started spending it already. So then, even if there's a Shavu'ot Prutah left, then Einam Kodeshes. Rav Shimon Elazar would only be talking about where all of the money is still intact. When he says, Im Nishtayah Shavu'ot Prutah Mekodeshes, he doesn't mean that the loiva spent all of it except for a Prutah. He means, for example, that it was stolen, so he himself didn't have a chance to do anything with it, and it was stolen, and all that was left was a Prutah. But if he started spending it, then yeah, Rav Shimon Elazar might agree, Einam Kodeshes, and that would still fit with Rav's opinion. So that was how the Talmudim and the Yeshiva understood it. V'aminalahu, but Rabbah continues, I told them, doesn't really work. When it comes to an onus, is he responsible? If there was an onus to this money, is he responsible to pay it back? Everybody would agree that it's considered in the reshus of the loiva, and he has to pay it back. My time, after all, that kind of case is no worse than borrowing. He borrowed money. They were in Lashon Kodesh, you have two different words for borrowing. In English, we use the word borrowing, whether you're borrowing somebody's car or whether you borrow his money. The difference is you have to give him back the actual car, you don't give him back the actual money. In Lashon Kodesh, you have different words for that. Lending him your car is called She'ela. Lending him money is called Halva. So Rabbah says to them, look, when it comes to She'ela, then Ma She'ela, the Hadra Ba'ena, Chaya Ba'onsim, She'ela, where you have to pay back the actual thing itself, and the She'elas, Chaya Ba'onsim, because the She'elas, Chaya Ba'onsim, everything, Malva Le'Kolten, Milva Le'Koshkin, how much more so a Milva, that he's going to be Chaya Ba'chuyusan, and he's going to have to pay back, even if in fact there was an onus to it. So, okay, the Hamakna explains why the Talmidim, why the other Talmidim and the Beis Medrash figure that there's a difference, because the fact is, with a Shoyo, Kol Hanah Shaloi, he has all the benefits of having the thing, because he borrowed it, he gets to use it, and he doesn't have to pay anything for the use of it. So therefore, we can make him chayiv in everything. As opposed to by Halva, you don't really have that. The Malva has a certain Hanah as well, because after all, he's doing a mitzvah. So whereas Rabbi says the Schayim Mitzvah is not counted for that purpose. In fact, you have the famous thing of Pruta de Rabbi Yosef. You have a Machlokas of Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef elsewhere in Shas. When a person found a lost object and he's holding on to it until the guy comes with simonim to get it, what is he considered during that time? A shem chinam or a shem sachar? And the Gemara mentions you have the concept called pruta de Rabbi Yosef, the concept while he's taking care of the aveda, he's an oisik b'mitzvah, he's potter min ha-mitzvah, and therefore, for example, if a poor person comes to the door right then, he wouldn't have to give him tzedakah because he's busy right now with a different mitzvah, and Rabbi Yosef therefore considers him a shem sachar. Rabbi would say, no, he's a shem chinam. So that fits, and the Hamakna says, that fits with what he's saying over here, the schay mitzvah, the fact that he has a Schei mitzvah doesn't change anything. Anyway, the point is, so as far as Oinsim, Rabbah tells them, no, there's no question he'd be chayiv in Oinsim regardless. Ela hocha milha b'shus b'ayla mochazora ikibenai. No, so we're talking about if he hadn't used it yet. Once he uses it, then we said for sure he's chayiv, then for sure. It's like any halva, he's chayiv b'Oinsim, and he's chayiv, and the bala boss can't tell him, I changed my mind and I don't want to lend you the money. The argument between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon Elazar would only be as far as the detail of is the milva in the reshus of the owner as far as that he can change his mind. According to the Tanakhama, even though none of the money has been spent yet, it's all still ba'ain, nevertheless, the malva can't change his mind and say, you know what, I don't want to lend you the money after all. Give it back to me. The other guy can say, you lent it to me for stam 30 days or whatever the amount is, and I don't have to pay you until that time. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, the balabask, the malva could say, give it back to me, and because since you haven't started spending it yet. So, but as far as Einsim, it would be in his reshus either way. But the Gemara says, if you're going to understand that way, the El Hada Amr of Huna. What about, for example, we have a din that Rav Huna said, as far as borrowing an object. Hashoyo kurda mechaveira. If a person borrows an axe from somebody else, ubikeabai, if he actually started chopping wood with the axe, knoi, then he's koina it, meaning to the extent that a shoyo is koina, the object that he borrowed, meaning that he's chayev. He's chayev to pay for any onsin and things like that. He's a shoyel and a shoyel is chayev in all onsin. Tosfos actually points out, to be exact, actually no. Onsin, no. So onsin is actually chayev beforehand. He does meshicha on it already. So he goes over to the other guy and says, I want to borrow your axe. As soon as the guy gives it to him and he does meshicha on the axe, already then he's koine to the extent of being chayev b'onsin. What we mean is, when Rav Huna is making the distinction of he'll be keyaboy or loy be keyaboy, we mean as far as can Reuven say, you know what, I changed my mind, give it back to me. Or can Shimon say, no, you lent it to me for X amount of time or for as long as I need it or whatever, and therefore you can't change your mind. So he says, Bikeya by Knoi, if he actually chopped with it, then he was koine it where the mashio can't change his mind. Loi Bikeya by Loi Knoi, but if he didn't yet chop any wood with it, then the other guy can change his mind and demand it back right away. Lema Katanoi Amr the Shmaite. Again, are we going to have to say that Rav Huna's statement is only according to one Tana? Based on how we understood the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Elazar now, it comes out that the way Rabbah is saying it, that the Talmidei HaYeshiva had said that the machlokas between them is both about Chazorah and about Oinsin. Rabbah said not about Oinsin, but as far as Chazorah. But here, when Rav Huna is saying that until he actually starts using it, then there can even be Chazorah, that would work only according to the Tanakhama. It wouldn't work according to Rav Shimon Elazar. We don't really want to have to say that. It would be according to Rav Shimon Elazar, rather. Rav Shimon Elazar would say it's considered in the reshus of the owner until he starts using the money, and on the face of it, the same thing would be with the axe. So it would come out that Rav Huna's din is only according to Rav Shimon Elazar. So the answer is loy. ad kan le pligi ela b'milva. No, because the machlokas Reb Shimon Elazar and the Tanakama is only by a milva delay hadra be'ena, where after all, there's no expectation that the actual coins themselves that he gave him are going to be returned as is. Again, that's the difference between halva and she'ela. Avu she'ela, the hadra be'ena, when it comes to she'ela, where you're expected to return the actual object itself, divrei hakol, b'keya be'en, loy b'keya be'loy, k'noy, then you could say that everybody would agree that only if he actually chopped with it, then he makes it now completely in his reshus, and the other guy can't change his mind. And if he didn't start chopping with it, then the other guy could, because that would be a difference between she'ela and halva. Okay. So the Gemara says, name a you know what? I guess we'll continue this on Yom Tov, Bez Hashem. Actually, you know what? Maybe not. Nobody's here yet. Anyway, yeah. Let's go for it. Fine. Name a katanoi. The Gemara says, would we have to say that still this machloikas of Makadish Mamilva, this question about Makadish Mamilva, the original statement that Rav said, Makadish Mamilva, Enim Kodeshes, would we have to say it depends on a different machloikas tanoim? So fine, we're saying it has nothing to do with the machloikas of Reb Shimon Elazar and the Tanakama, but maybe there's a different machloikas tanoim that bears on this that we would have to take into consideration. And again, we would end up saying that Rav is saying only according to one Tana, and again, we'd kind of rather not do that. So what Brisa says, hiskadshili b'shtar choyv. Suppose a man says to a woman, be mekudesh to me with this shtar choyv, that Pliny owes me money, and I'm being mekadesh you with that money that he owes me. Or he had a milva in somebody else's hands, that other people owed him money, and he writes her a shtar hashah, which makes it entitled, the shtar hashah is a power of attorney that makes her that she'd be able to go and collect that. Usually, in other words, if Reuven owes Shimon money and Shimon sends Levi to collect it, then Reuven can usually say, lav baal dvorim didia, you have no business in here, I don't have to give you any money, I'm dealing only with Reuven. But if Reuven gives a hashah, if he writes a shtar hashah and makes Levi his official agent, his official power of attorney, then Levi can do that. Elsewhere by the Gemara, the Gemara says not really such a good thing to do that, except in certain circumstances. But whatever, you are allowed to do that in halacha. So if he wrote him a shtar hashah, so the Braisa says Reb Meir Omer Mekudeshes. So then Reb Meir says that she can be Mekudesh on the basis of that. V'chamim Enim Mekudeshes, and the Chum say no. So Hai Shtar Choyv Hechidami. So let's figure out, what's the situation with the shtar choyv? Ilem a shtar choyv da achayim. Do you mean that the shtar choyv is other people owe him money? Hainu milva biad achayim. Well, then the Braisa also says milva biad achayim. So that amounts to the same thing. In the one case, we're talking about that he has a shtar choyv that they owe him money. In the other case, they also owe him money. So what's the difference between the two cases? And the Braisa would be distinguishing them. El alav shtar choyv didah. Obviously, then, wouldn't it have to be the shtar choyv that we're talking about, is that she owes him money, and he's going to be moichel the debt. So that would be elalav v'shtar choyv didah kamiflegi. So that would be elalav v'shtar choyv didah over mekadesh v'milva kamiflegi. So the argument is, can he be mekadesh v'milva? Reb Meir would hold that Reb Milva would hold milva is not lahitzah nitna. And again, as long as she hadn't started spending the money yet, then it's not considered fully in her reshus. It's considered still in his reshus. Therefore, he can be mekadesh with it. And according to the Chacham, milva lahitzah nitna, and it doesn't really matter. So in that case, it would come out that the machloikas about being mekadesh with the milva is only according to come out that Rab's statement is only according to the Tanakama. But the Gemara says no. La'olam shtar choyv da'achirim. No, because we could say, in fact, we are talking about a shtar choyv that belong that from somebody else, where the somebody else owes him money. You're going to say in that case, then what's the difference between the other case and the Braisa, where it says where she owes him, not she. We had two cases in the Braisa, Shtar Choyv and Milva Biad Acherim. So we asked on the face of it, they have to be two different cases, but we can say, Hocha Milva. So we can say, Hocha Milva B'Shtar, Milva Aper Kamiflegi. The argument could be, in other words, we have the two cases are both of them somebody else owes him money, but one of them he has a Shtar and the other one it's only a verbal loan. So one is where there's a shtar and he's handing her over that shtar, and the other one, there's no shtar and he's writing her a harshah that he's giving her a harshah to go collect the debt. So therefore, but neither of them is referring to where she owes him money. Meaning, in other words, Tosfos says it's one thing a milva that he gave her money already, she was koneh, and now she's not receiving anything new, so then ain't a kodeshes. But when he's giving her a milva that somebody else owes her, owes him, he's giving her something new that she didn't have before, so then we can talk about mekodeshes. So we could say that the two cases in the Braisa, one where other, both of them are where other people owe him money, but one bishtar and one balpeh. So now, what would be the machlokes? Why is it that why is it the mayor says mekudeshes and the chum say not? So like this, v'milva b'shtar mai pligi. So now we have to understand in each individual case there's a different machlokes. When it comes to the milva b'shtar, what is the argument? V'plugta the Rebbe v'rabbanon kamifligi. The argument is regarding what Rebbe and the chachamim disagree with. Netanya, we learn in a braisa, when a person sells a shtar choiv to somebody else. So Reuven has a shtar choiv that Shimon owes him money. He wants to sell that shtar to Levi. And now, on the face of it, Levi will now assume the right to collect that debt. So Oisius Niknis Vimisira. The letters on that shtar can be nikna, can be acquired by Masira by handing it over to the other person. So he doesn't, so Rebbe would say, you don't have to write another shtar for the sale. You don't have to write a shtar, I sold you this shtar. The shtar itself, you give it over to the other person, and that constitutes that now he assumes everything, all the rights that were in that shtar. The chum say no. Bein shekosta v'loy masar, whether he wrote a shtar mechira, but he didn't actually give him the shtar choiv itself. Bein shemasa v'loy kosav, or he gave him the shtar choiv and didn't write a shtar kinyan. Loy kona, the lekeach won't yet acquire it. Ad sheyichta v'yimser, unless he writes it, he writes a shtar choiv, he writes a new shtar, a shtar of sale, and he gives him the shtar choiv. Well, mar isle de Rebbe or mar lasle de Rebbe. Well, we can say, Reb Meir agrees with Rebbe that you can sell a shtar without anything else. So therefore, the same thing. He gives the woman the shtar as kiddushin. That's good enough. She now has the right to collect that debt from Shimon. And therefore, we're good. We have something that was given to her as kiddushin. And it's tangible. The shtar itself is tangible, but it's only tangible as a piece of paper that you can use as a bottle stopper elsewhere, the Gemara explains. Here, we're talking about the paper may be worth a shavu prota, maybe not, but the loan that's in the paper is certainly a shavu prota. And Rebbe holds that, and Rebbe holds just giving her the shtar is enough. You don't need anything else. So therefore, you have a kiddushin. Or Mar Lesley the Rebbe, whereas the Chachamim would disagree with the Rebbe, and they would say that he also has to write her a shtar of sale, and he didn't do that, so therefore there's no, he hasn't given her anything of value, and therefore ain't more kodeshes. The Boyesema, or another way you could say, because I'm a Lesley who the Rebbe, you could say neither Reb Meir nor the Chachamim hold like Rebbe, and in fact Tosfos says based on that, the Halacha evidently is not like Rebbe, otherwise the Gemara could easily have said that they both do agree with Rebbe. But rather, v'hochabed did a papa for mitzvah. Rather, they could be arguing in the case of a shtar within what a papa says. The amar a papa, ha'iman de zabin shtar al chavre, when a person sells a shtar to somebody else, sorich l'michtav le, he has to write, and the chachamim are saying that he has to write him, that he has to write out, that he has to write out a shtar kinyan, he has to write in that shtar kinyan, k'ni l'cha hu v'chol shibudei, you acquire this shtar choiv that I'm selling you and all of its shibud. Otherwise, the sale is not valid, because otherwise it means that he's not giving him all the rights that come with that shtar. Well, we could say Mar Isle did a papa or Mar Lesle did a papa. So then the Chachamim agree with the papa's point. So therefore, again, he didn't say I'm makna you the shtar and all of its shibud. So therefore, it amounts to that basically she just owns a piece of paper. Or Mar Lesle did a papa, whereas the mayor would disagree with her papa, and therefore he would say it doesn't matter whether he wrote that loshen or not. Either way, he sold her the paper. Fine, let's say we're talking about he wrote out a shtar that says I'm selling you the shtar chayv. But he didn't write these words that I'm makna to you all the shibud. Nevertheless, the mayor would disagree with her papa's point and say that she still owns everything that the entire choiv that's in the shtar and all the shibud that comes along with it, and therefore you have something that she received for kedushin. So that's another way. The boyseima, yet another possibility. The kula ama islu did her papa. Maybe they do both agree with her papa's din that you have to write. That, and we're talking about, let's say he wrote her a shtar that says, I'm selling you this shtar that Levi, that Shimon owes me money with all the shibud in it. But they could be arguing regarding what Shmuel says. Shmuel says that if Reuven sells a shtar choiv to Shimon, and later on he goes and is moichel that debt to Shimon, Sorry. Reuven sells Levi the shtar. Shimon owes Reuven money. So there's a shtar, and Reuven sells that shtar to Levi. So now Levi has the right to collect the debt from Shimon. But now Reuven goes and is moichel that chayv after he sold the shtar to Levi. Mochel. So that it is a valid mechila, and now Levi can't collect anything. Because why does he owe him the money in the first place? It's only because of the moicher. So now we would say, and vafilu yodash moichel. In fact, Shmuel says not only could Reuven himself be moichel the debt, even Reuven's heir could be moichel the debt.
He sold it to him,
but Tosfos points out the whole concept of buying a shtar is only dirabbanan. So it still doesn't take away the strength, the fact that Reuven could have sort of forgiven that debt when it was still owed to him before he sold the shtar. The fact that he sold it doesn't take away that ability from him. Anyway, so the point is, we would say, demar islay de Shmuel, demar leslay de Shmuel. So we'd say the Chachamim agree with Shmuel. So how could she be Mekodesh with the Shtar Choyv? What if he's Moichel afterwards? So therefore, you don't have a Smichos Das of hers that she's going to receive anything from it. Omar, let's lay to Shmuel. Whereas Reb Meir would disagree with Shmuel and say that he can't do that. He can't be Moichel. So therefore she has a Smichos Das. She's going to be able to collect the debt. Tosfos actually elsewhere in Ksubas, we had this din as well. Tosfos asks, so what? And if the husband is moichel that, and if the husband is moichel that, he's still going to have to pay her back. In the case where he sold to Levi, for he sold the shtar to Levi, and then it was moichel the choiv, he's still considered a mazik, and he's going to have to pay Levi for that hezek. The same way over here, you have to pay her for that. So the answer is fine. Tosfos says he wouldn't really have to pay her the entire amount. What he'd have to pay her is the amount that this shtar choyv is worth as something that you sell. Meaning, a shtar choyv is not necessarily worth the entire amount in it. What if the guy defaults? You always have the chance that he might default and you're not going to get your money. So there's always some risk in a shtar choyv. So for example, it was a loan for $100. When you're selling it, you might not be able to sell it at $100. It'll only sell for $90. Depends how the guy's credit rating is. If the guy has a lousy credit rating, then you might only be able to get $60 for it. If he has a good credit rating, you'll be able to get $90, whatever. So that would be the amount. So still, the fact is, the agreement was she's going to be Mekodesh for the entire amount in the shtar, and if he can be Moichel it, and he only has to end up paying her for the Hezek, he's not paying her the full amount. Therefore, so now, Meir would hold, though, he has no ability to do that in the first place, to be Moichel the Choyv. Therefore, no matter what, she's going to collect that whole hundred from Shimon. Therefore, she's Mekodesh, whereas the Chacham would hold that now. Okay. And then one more answer. The Gemara says, "V'boisem to kula am islahu de Shmuel." Another possibility we could say that both the Tanakama and Reb Meir agree with Shmuel's din. It's true; he could be moichel the shtar chayv. But hacha be'isha kamitzvi. The machlokas is regarding the woman herself. What is she thinking at this point? Marsa be'isha samcha daita. Reb Meir figures when the husband says I'm mekadesh you with a shtar choyv that somebody else owes me money, then she has a smichos das that he's not going to do anything to undo that. Meima omra, she's going to figure to herself lo shavik le didiyo mochel le lachrini. He's not going to ignore me and be moichel a debt to somebody else. He already gave me the shtar choyv as kiddushin. He's not going to now turn around and be moichel it to somebody else. Why would he do that when he wants to be mekadesh me? Umar Sova, where's the Tanakama would hold? Ishanamila, some Chadaita, where's the Tanakama would hold? Not necessarily does she have that Smichos Das. What if he's Moichel the Choyv and Shmuel says he's able to and she's going to lose all or part of the money and therefore she doesn't have that Smichos Das to be Niskadish? So that would be another way of understanding the Machlokas. In any case, the point is that none of that has to do with the whole question of whether Hamakadosh Milva Mekudeshes or not, because here we're not talking about a milva that she owes him. We're talking about a milva that other people owe him, and therefore Rav's din still doesn't depend on the opinions of the Tanaim. Okay, so that explains. So far we've explained then, if we understand the Braisa that way, why Reb Meir and the Chacham are arguing with a milva b'shtar. Now we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, and discuss why they'd be arguing when it comes to a milva al peh. Why would there be a machlokas about whether he can be mekadesh over the milva al peh by writing a hashah, by writing this power of attorney to her? Okay.
Yeah.